This is a bit unusual how this has come together, because it's things that I've read over the last few months and what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart and our heart. And I guess our prayer this morning is that your spirit will be stirred to be intentional in 2019. I think it was something Liz just said when she said, time is ticking. And I guess our first question is, what are your expectations for 2019? Do you have any? Do you have any? It's important that we do. Otherwise, this will just be another year that we just drift through. And you know, we all say at December, we all say, where did that year go? Where did that year go? But you know, God says there's a time for everything. And what we're going to share this morning, we want to apply to our hearts first. But our challenge to you also is, I want to be intentional this year with God. I might have been intentional last year, but this is a new year. He has new things. So I want us to take a moment. You might want to close your eyes. But as this year turns, what has God been saying to you? What have you read that has struck your spirit? What are the things that he's been saying to you that he wants you to do? Again, do you have expectations? Have you got expectations for this coming year? Have you got expectations that require faith for you to step out? Have you even thought about this year? You know, when we start thinking about what God is saying to us, and I want to encourage you, he is speaking to every single person in this room. Sometimes we've just got to, in our spirit, find the way that he is talking to us, because he'll talk to us, each of us, differently. Is he stirring expectation in your heart? Is he stirring dreams and desires and visions in your heart? And be honest, if you're saying no, then seek him for that, because he will want to speak to you. He is speaking to you. But I can guarantee in most of us, what happens when that starts to happen is we start looking at ourselves and we start thinking, how can this happen? How can what that whisper was just said to me, how could what that expectation that seems to be in my heart, that desire, that vision I have to do for God this year, how can that happen? How can it be? I don't have the training. I don't have the resources. I don't have the skill. I don't have the connections. And I certainly don't have the strength to accomplish what I feel Father is saying to you. Well, we can all take encouragement, because we're not alone. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was troubled by exactly the same thoughts regards the birth of Jesus. When she said to the angel, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. See, if you're sitting here this morning, you're wondering like Mary, how, Lord, are you going to complete? How are you going to produce those things that I feel you're sensing in my heart? And if you don't sense anything, that's the same analogy for you. Lord, I don't feel anything. I don't sense it. How are you going to even use me this year? Well, let us take encouragement. He's going to accomplish it through you. He's the one that's going to get the credit. So how will it happen? How will it happen? Well, don't look at what circumstances. Look at what God promises and promise. That's what counts. Just as with Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. See, just as the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary with a child, so he can impregnate you with a vision. He can inspire you to create ideas. He can introduce you to the right people. And he can empower you to do that which he has called you to do. God had a unique plan for Mary. And he's got a unique plan for you. Not the person next to you, for you. See, the problem is we're not privileged to see the future. And we don't know how or what God has in store for us. But he has a plan. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, after the angel had spoke to Mary, notice what she said. And this is in the King James Version. Be it unto me according to thy word. Thy word. So the Holy Spirit would say to you this morning, be it according to what his word says. Not your social status, not your finances, not your job description, or what you deserve. No, be it unto me according to thy word. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. None of us know what this year holds. None of us know what this year holds, but God does. Was it easy for Mary to believe? I guess she struggled. But more than that, she took such a risk. You know, some theologians say that actually Mary was only 14 years old. And in her culture, in her society, to be pregnant out of wedlock was a dangerous place to be. And yet, she gave herself willingly to God. And the results of that willingness were miraculous. And that's no less what God can do for you today. But we also have to give ourselves willingly to him. We have to give ourselves willingly to him for this coming year, for our expectations, for our dreams, for our desires. And I won't lie, there'll be a cost. There always is a cost. Remember these verses. When Jesus said, follow me, one said, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, that's one of the greatest challenges for each and every Christian, including us. To follow Jesus, to pursue him and his purposes in our lives. We have to do that without looking back. And that can be hard. See, Jesus' illustration was perfect for the people of those times. You know, you can't... I won't get technical here because I don't know how, but as far as I understand, you can't plow a field looking back. It won't be a straight line. It will be all over the place. And isn't it interesting what the man said to Jesus? Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, we would regard that as something positive, wouldn't we? Nothing wrong with that, saying goodbye to my family and my home. So why would Jesus say what he said to him? Why would he say, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service? Isn't that a bit harsh, Jesus? But it's interesting what the man said. But first. So he was putting that before Jesus. And what Jesus is saying to us in this verse is that, yeah, even sometimes in huge blessings like our family and our homes, they can become a distraction. Jesus has to be first in our lives. If it becomes more important, whatever that is, you know, we get blessed with many temporal things and they're good for us. But if any of those become more important, then pursuing him and his purposes, then they're a distraction that are not good for us. God's not a mean God. He's a good God. And you know, sometimes there can be a tendency that we look back at the good things. And in doing that, we don't look forward to the great things that he has for us. Because we're too busy looking back. And you know, the challenge to me this year, the challenge to us this year, good intentions aren't enough. You know, I was reading some statistic about all the New Year resolutions that people make, and about 85% are usually over and done with by February. You know, gym membership probably goes at its highest ever in January, and it's probably the gym is its emptiest by April than it's ever been. We need to make the call or make the move. We need to set the deadline or set the appointment. We need to do whatever it is that we need to do to keep moving. I read this quote. It said, today is the tomorrow you were talking about yesterday. So stop delaying and do it. Today is the tomorrow you were talking about yesterday. So stop delaying and do it.
So when it comes to godly expectation, it's about having an optimistic attitude about the future and about our circumstances. And that's based on the goodness and the promises of God. And God wants us to live authentic lives, not just theory. And that's why in Ephesians, Paul's prayer is that believers may have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may know him better, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us. It's about the heart, not just head knowledge. And that's what we want, isn't it? Can we look at, if you've got your Bibles, look at Ezekiel 37. And it's where the Lord takes Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. This has been something the Lord has been speaking to me about over the last few months. The Lord took hold of me, this is Ezekiel, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. And I just find this fascinating, you know, because, you know, there were bones scattered everywhere in that valley. And it was described as being very dry. And how many of us look at our circumstances, our dreams and our expectations, and view them as dry bones, without life, hopeless, and needing a miracle to revive them? You know, I've got quite a few dry bones in my work situation, and I look at that and I think, it's going to need a miracle to revive that. Verse 3 says, the Lord says, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you alone know. And Sharon sang a song in the worship about God knowing it all. He's got his plans and his purposes, and he knows it all. He sees it all. He hears it all. Son of man, can these bones live? You alone know, Lord. We need to be reminded that God knows all things, sees all things, hears all things. And then God told Ezekiel to prophesy to those dry bones. And we see the tendons and the flesh appear. And it is so important that we speak life over our dry bones, over our circumstances, over our situations, over our dreams, over our plans. The word of God and the declarations that we speak are so important because it is the living word of God. This scripture, this word that we've been given is living and active. Do we believe that? We're to speak life into our dry bones. And then if we look at verse 9, it says, we see that although tendons and flesh appeared on the bones, there was still no life. So God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath. And my experience, and I know it's that of a lot of us, is that sometimes we see part measure of a miracle or God doing something, but we don't see it all. And I think the encouragement to us as we start this year is, you know, sometimes we need to keep going. We need to keep pressing in until we see the fulfillment of those dreams, of those expectations, of our prayers. To keep going, not give up. We've seen the tendons, we've seen the flesh appear, but there's still no life. We're to keep going. Amen.
How are we going to keep going? How are we going to have more good intentions? How are we going to make the move?
I want to read Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely.
You know, end of last year, we did a whole series on the fruits of the Spirit. Have we applied it? Or is it a distant series that we did? You know, what that makes a difference in our lives is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God living inside of you and me makes the difference. It makes us a better, kinder, holier person. It makes what us stand out in the darkness of this world that we live in. But as we shared at that, Paul, in that series, Paul was talking about it's a way of life. It's a walk of life. We keep in step with his Spirit. But you know, sometimes that walk can seem slow. Sometimes it can be, honestly, it can seem mundane. It feels like you've got to take one step and then another step, and still nothing changes, so you take another step. And yet at other times there's a dynamic and excitement to it that's a fast-paced experience. But isn't that life? Isn't that life? And you know, the key isn't the daily walk. Sorry, the key isn't the pace of the daily walk. Because it moves. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's mundane, sometimes there's an experience that is fast. What is key is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to work in your life and my life.
So hope is that godly expectation that something good is going to happen, and that's based on the goodness and the promises of God. Hebrews tells us to hold fast to the confession of our faith, that he who promised is faithful. You know, sometimes in being realistic about our circumstances and our situations and our dreams, we have a tendency to become quite negative. But pessimism and negativity are not a personality trait. I actually believe it's a belief system. Something's wrong with our belief. That's the issue. You know, we need to recognize that trait. We need to recognize where the source comes from. Increasing hope is evidence that we're believing truth. Increasing negativity is evidence that we're believing lies. And that's so easy to do. So easy to do. We need to consider, I would suggest, what lenses we're looking through when we're looking at our circumstances, our expectations, our dreams, how we view them. When we see the abundance of God, when we see that he is a God that supplies all our needs, when we see him as our protector, as our comforter, when we look at him with that lens. I don't know if you've heard of the Christian author and evangelist Leif Hetland, but he talks about wearing sunglasses, S-O-N glasses. We're viewing things as God views things. But when all we can see is lack, what we don't have, what we can't do, who I am not, then we're viewing things through the lens of disappointment, unforgiveness, bitterness, and the list goes on. David, King David, is an example to us. In Samuel, it tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And in Samuel, this was after he'd seen his family kidnapped, the city burned, his life was in danger. You know, pretty tough, I would imagine, for King David at that point. But what he did was he spoke God's promises over himself, and he encouraged himself, and he spoke life into his circumstances and his expectations, into his dry bones. And I would suggest that we need to do the same as we go into 2019 for each one of us. Yeah. And I just actually want to pray over us right now, Holy Spirit. I just want to ask that we will call out to those dry bones to come alive. Yeah, I want to ask that we would rise up from out of the ashes and see armies come alive. We want to be an army prepared for you, Lord God. And we declare life over our circumstances, over our dreams, over our hopes. In Jesus' name.
So with our sunglasses on, S-O-N, at the beginning of this new year, we need to put them on. Yes, it's good to desire to be a better, brighter, fitter version of ourselves. And if you want to go to the gym, I'm right behind you in support and prayer. And it's good to make resolutions because it helps us focus. But more than anything, let us be intentional about building our life on the certainties of God's word. God's word is the answer to everything, and the Holy Spirit will outwork his word. Let us learn to walk in step with the Spirit. Let us learn to be a person who has affection for others, who lives an abundant, overflowing life. Let us lead lives that have a calmness and willingness to stick with things and a sense of compassion in our hearts. Be a person who finds yourself involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force your way in life, being able to marshal and direct your energies wisely. And know your gender does not limit God, and your age is no problem to him. Society may glamorize youth and marginalize the old, but your season of life doesn't limit God. In order to have confidence that God will fulfill your dream, you must know that it is born of his Spirit. Romans 8:8 says, those who are of the flesh cannot please God. So let our dreams, let our expectations be born from him. They cannot be born out of our introspective needs. They cannot be born out of our selfish desires. They cannot be born out of someone else's desires or our need to prove something, whether that's to family, to boss, to our peers. So whatever your expectation is, whatever your dream is, make sure that God is the source of it, and he will provide all the resources that you need to fulfill it. So do you have a dream? Do you have an expectation? Is there a stirring in your heart for something? If not, then ask God for it. Do something great in 2019, but do it in the Spirit's strength, not your own. You know, when the new year comes around, it's a time when we reflect. So it's good to reflect on Father's goodness and all that he's done in 2018. That's what we did last weekend. Because that reminds us of the truth of who he is and how he's used us. But it also reminds us of the truth that we are always invited to dream with God. And new dreams with God also. Whilst remembering his promise to us. So what are you dreaming for 2019? What are your expectations for 2019? How high or how low have you set them? When Father wants to raise them from wherever you may be thinking. What is your dream? Do you want to hear his voice more? Do you want to see the supernatural flood into your life? Perhaps you're craving a deeper community, or you're believing God for that healing or that miracle. Whatever it is, say yes and amen to it. See, the question is simple. How much more do you want to go deeper with God? How much more do you want to go deeper with God? There is always more depth to God. We come to the one who creates the earth and the universes. He is the one that's with you today. So don't have any boundaries on your dreams or your expectations or your stirrings. Entrust them to Father. Because he will take you places that you cannot see or imagine in this year. Amen. Now what's he saying to you? For some of you, he wants you to whisper into his ears. Tell him those deepest things. Tell him those deepest things. He knows them already, but he wants you to verbalize them because he wants you to trust him for that. But what's he saying to you? Now, for some of you, he just wants to come and stand with you. And Dave reminded me of a clip from Narnia, which I just want Matt to play now. Interesting, isn't it? Lucy was the smallest, youngest. She had the smallest sword. But to underestimate her was a mistake. You might feel insignificant. That's a lie. That's a lie. You might feel the smallest. You might feel young in spirit. You might feel that that gifting you have is such a small thing in your hand. But you know, just as Aslan was by her side, so Jesus is by your side. Did you notice it only took one roar and the circumstance changed? There's power in the Holy Spirit. No matter what battles you face in 2019, no matter what you're called to step out in God in 2019, Jesus is by your side. And with Jesus by your side, you are more than a conqueror. Because he enables you to overcome and be an overcomer with obstacles and with opposition. So let us be intentional in this year. Let us have the willingness like Mary had. Let us have the willingness like Lucy had in facing our battles. But God has so much more for us. But let us be intentional. Let us not at the end of this year say, oh, where did that year go? Let us say, boy, what a year that was. What a year we saw God move. We saw this church grow. What a year when God used me. What a year when I saw signs and wonders and healings and miracles. What a year when I knew Jesus roar beside me and that circumstance changed and his name was glorified. We're going to finish with a song, Build Your Kingdom Here, because that's what it's all about. That's why you're here for such a time as this. In 2014, we did a little sheet called Consider Your Ways in the New Year, which I'm going to put out that you can have again. But I just want to pray this prayer over us. And then as we sing this song, let the Holy Spirit still speak to you. And I say, if you're still thinking, well, I don't know what it is I'm expecting for, just open your heart, because there will come an expectancy that is of him. But this is my prayer over us and over you this coming year. And it's from Numbers 6, 24 to 27. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. And that word countenance is the king lifting his face, not in judgment, but with a smile and in favour upon you, and give you peace, a peace that is complete and full of wholeness. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.